Good day, Matthew. Stephen Roman here, president of Global Atomic Corporation, and glad to be back with you again.
Good to see you, Stephen. Good to see you. Look, we're going to cover off a few things today. I'd certainly like to. Obviously, feasibility study out, but I do want to talk about what's happening in Niger and also in Turkey. But okay, so feasibility study out. Good.
Feasibility study was fabulous. You know, we went from 12-year mine life to 23-year mine life. IRRs are up. I mean, we used a little higher pricing to reflect a little bit better the term price of $75. Now, I understand term price has moved up to $80 now, which is great news. People typically track the spot prices and, you know, trade stocks on spot prices. Spot pricing is very volatile. And it's easily manipulated, particularly at month end with traders coming in there and trying to knock the price down so they can reset their pricing that they're buying at, etc. So people should focus really on term pricing, and it is moving up. It's a very good sign. I think we're into the next uptick leg of the uranium market. And so, our feasibility study is showing the growth that we predicted. As we do more drilling, we'll come out with the next feasibility study, and you've got over 50 million pounds of inferred resources right now at over 5,000 ppm. That's going to just keep growing as we continue developing this deposit.
So, okay, So, remind people why you've done it and why you'll do another one. Because, I mean, you've already started operations on the ground. So why the need to kind of reassess the economics?
Well, no, I mean, clearly with a mining company and a mining project, and this is a big deposit, you don't do everything at once. You got to do it incrementally. We obviously started with the phase one program. We're now down well past 900 meters with our ramping. We're in the footwall. We're doing our development of the stoping areas right now. So, business is going very well. But in the meantime, you continue developing and moving inferred to measured and indicated so you can include it in an updated mine plan and continue building the value of this asset. So clearly, mineable reserves are worth more in the ground than inferred resources. So as we continue to put money into drilling and moving inferred up to M&I that we can then just move into a mineable category, the valuation goes up. So that's what we expect is going to happen here.
Okay, but talk to me about the realities of the situation on the ground, right? So the middle of March, your stock took a beating, and I think it was, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here.
Oh, traders must love our stock, Matt, because the volatility in our stock is just fantastic.
It is. And I wish I could call it, but unfortunately I don't know what the American government's international policy with Niger is going to be like going forward. But there seem to be conversations with the Nigerian or the new or interim or however you want to look at it, the post-coup government in Niger and the U.S. and potentially the French in there as well didn't go the way that the market expected it, and the market kind of reacted quite negatively to that. But what's the reality on the ground?
Well, the reality on the ground is everything is business as usual. I mean, we're shipping materials to site to keep the mining operations going. We're now bringing in all the heavy machinery to start all of the real big earthwork program for the plant construction. Everything's on schedule. We're still shooting to have the plant completed by the end of next year. And so really, reality speaking, I mean, you know, political and geopolitical things that are happening out there in the market don't really affect our operation. That's the bottom line. And, you know, the great news is that ECOWAS dropped all the sanctions. The World Bank is re-engaged. Banking is back to normal in Niger. Now we've got new routes. The Benin border is not open yet because Benin and Niger are still butting heads. However, I think that's going to reopen because they've started shipping oil through the pipeline to the port of Cotonou now. So Niger will become now a new oil exporter. So this is really good news for the country. And, you know, at the end of the day, Nigeria is now giving us a proposal to move equipment and materials from Lagos right up to a dry port they have right on the Niger border called Kano. And they've come in and made a presentation to us and said, listen, we can move all your materials up to site much quicker and easier because we've got better infrastructure. So we're looking at these things. We're still moving things in through Togo and Burkina Faso. But now we've got alternative routes. And so things have really, really picked up.
Okay. So the U.S. government and international relations, you know, how will or how could that affect things if it doesn't go the way the U.S. U.S. are all about promoting freedom and democracy globally, right? You know, that we know that for a fact. But if the U.S. or the West doesn't agree with the Niger government or can't come to some agreement, are you saying that you, on the ground, and your relationships on the ground, locally and federally, are allowing this project to move forward?
That was a little bit of a roundabout question, but at the end of the day, whether the U.S. military is in the country or not in the country doesn't affect us one iota.
Okay.
We have the Niger military that patrols the Timbersoy base, and they have security around our site. We don't have any Americans there.
Okay.
Now, you know, I can't comment on negotiations between America and Niger. So, you know, I read in the press what other people read in the press. I do get, you know, local on-the-ground commentary, which, you know, who knows? As far as I know, there's some negotiations going on, and I don't expect America, in my humble opinion, to be leaving the country. So, you know, there's a lot of negative press out there, of course, that the Americans are getting the boot from Niger like the French did. I don't think that's going to happen. And as I said previously, whether the military's there or not really doesn't affect us. So
okay.
The Niger government is 100% behind this project. The mines minister is 100% behind this project. We're employing now over 300 people on site, and everything is moving like at full speed. So you know what? People need to get a life and not be reacting like wild banshees whenever they get a little bit of news, because you don't know if that news is true or false. So, you know, at the end of the day, what are we doing? We are building a project, and we have signed contracts with utilities. So that's the way it sits right now. The utilities are expecting us to start delivering Q1 of 2026, and that's the schedule we're on right now.
Okay, so I think, well, there's the clue for everyone. The U.S. discussions with the Niger government are irrelevant. You've got contracts with Western utilities, and that's where your product will be going.
Even utilities now.
Right, of course, sorry. So this isn't a case of, oh, America's out, China's in, or Russia's in. This is, no, those are separate economic discussions and access discussions. They don't affect your business.
Niger is a sovereign country. They can deal with whoever they want. Sometimes these big powers, the big Western powers, try to dictate who you're dealing with. I think Africa's gone through a bit of a renaissance, a rebirth, and people are saying, hey, you know what? We're smart guys. We've been educated. We know what we've got here. We sort of want to run our own show. And yeah, we'll take advice from people, but you know, don't tell us how to run our country. So this is where we're at right now. So I think, you know, cooler heads, calmer heads will prevail. Niger is going to do what's best for Niger, and the people there are very happy with what's happening there. We've got tremendous relations in our region. And we're employing a lot of people. And as a matter of fact, right now we're bringing in a new camp that's going to be adding 255 rooms to our current facility. And we're going to have over 500 people working there in 6 months. So, like, this thing is like gangbusters.
Good, good, good. Okay. So I decided to kind of drill down on that one, but I just think that's where minds are at the moment. It's like, and we saw the reaction in the market, but I think people are starting to realize that it is business as usual and the price is recovering, at a lick. So that's good news. Can we talk about Turkey, though? Obviously, it's been a sort of tricky time out there with earthquakes and all sorts of things going on over there.
Well, earthquakes hopefully are over with for a while. Yeah. They were last year.
Yeah.
Last year, as you saw in our financial statements, we lost a couple $1 million. That'll be recovered. This year, we should be in a profit position. Things are going very well there. I think steel mills are coming back up to capacity. So it's all good. And some other good news came out this morning. Now, because of a shortage in zinc, the smelters have dropped their treatment charges. So that's all going to reflect in more profitability for our operation in Turkey. So, you know, generally speaking, there's a whole bunch of good news here with ECOWAS dropping sanctions, borders reopening, banks reengaging, Turkey back on track, smelters lowering charges. People should look at the positive items and not, you know, things that really make no difference to us.
Right. Okay. Can we just talk about the kind of on the corporate side? You obviously raised some money in the middle of March as well, $56 million. Talked about there.
We had 9 million awards come in actually in March.
As well?
No, we raised a little money in December, and then we had $9 million awards.
You're right, sorry. You're right. Wow. Sorry, I'm thinking last year. I'm having a blonde moment, if I'm allowed to say that these days.
I will
just
tell
glad I've got hair. Glad I've got hair, that's all. Okay, so it was $9 million awards that came through. Okay, and how are we on finances at the moment? And what are we? Because obviously you talked about a lot of new people coming through, a lot of activity on the ground. You're building. So what does it look like on the balance sheet at the moment?
Well, at the end of the year, we had about $25 million. So right now, currently, we're probably in the $20 million range. But, you know, what we're doing is we're actually waiting for our bankers to go to credit committee this month. So that's the latest indication is, you know, they're supposed to do that this month, whether it's end of the month or beginning of May or whatever, but it'll be in this quarter. And they're supposed to go to final board approval in June. So if that all remains on track, obviously, I think that'll be a big boost for Global Atomic. And, of course, the financing overhang is, I think, putting a bit of weight on our company because people are wondering, are you going to get financed? Are you going to have enough money to build this project? And I would say, yes, we will. And, you know, if there's some hiccup with banks, we have other alternatives. You know, there's a number of groups that want to do a JV with us. They want to cover all of our costs. I won't get into those kinds of discussions here, but there are other ways to finance this project. Clearly, with what's happening out there in the market, and I'm sure people have heard about the Russians building reactors in Burkina Faso and potentially in Algeria and South Africa and all over the place. One thing we have that everybody wants is uranium. And you know what? At the end of the day, regardless of what's happening out there geopolitically, we have a very valuable asset. And the fact that we are going to production here very soon is going to make it even more valuable. So people need to really realize what's happening out there in the grand scheme of things with all the reactor builds that are happening around the world.
Okay, so I hear what you're saying, because irrespective of what's happening geopolitically, likely, you've got what the world needs. You've got a big near-term resource of uranium. Okay, so which is good news. Just in terms of the market, just to kind of allay some of the fears, obviously we've had a bit of a run on it for the last 4 months, the run on spot price for the past 4 months or so, you know, up over $100, sort of reset back down to 75.
No.
Mid-70s level, right?
So mid-80s. Mid-80s on the spot.
Term mid-80s price, on the
spot. Term pricing has been going up. Spot's been volatile.
Yeah.
But, you know, spot's going to move back up again.
Why do you say that?
Just because of demand. Big, big demand. And, you know, there's players like Sput in there that are starting to buy again. And, you know, it's just going to tighten things up. And, you know, the key thing from a utility point of view is term pricing. That's the more stable price base that people should be looking at. If the term price is moving up, that's a very positive signal.
Right. Okay. Well, look. What's the next thing we're looking out for from you? Obviously, a lot of news to unpack here today. But what's happening the rest of this year? Give us a reminder.
Well, as a reminder, I guess the big thing is what are the banks going to do this month, and you know, then continued development, signing more offtake agreements, starting another round of drilling later this year, and just the construction schedule proceeding on pace. So, you know, Turkey, of course, clearly making money there, and generally things are firing on all cylinders right now.
Like that. Stephen, I appreciate the update. It's, you know, obviously the feasibility study, I mean, it suggests 57% even at today's you know, spot prices, and you know, 75% where it gets back up to 90 and beyond. So the project economics look sound, and you'll be one of the first to actually get into production, one of the first new producers to get into production. So stay in touch. Let's know how you get on, okay?
Matthew, it'll be a pleasure to give you an update in a few weeks. You know, maybe we should talk once we have clarity on our bankers.